Blog Talk Radio.
Today's message is your prayer answered or unanswered? And I was inspired for this message by a very short but powerful passage out of Luke chapter 1, verse 13. And it's about the Christmas story, really. And I was reading it, and it says, "But the angel said unto him," that's Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call him John." That one little verse got me thinking about prayer. And then something that happened this week that was out of my control with regard to my soundboard for Blog Talk here and also Blog Talk on Tribulation Now with John Baptist. And it was just like, "Lord, I have to hand this over to you. There's no way I'm going to be able to fix this." So I just cried a prayer out to the Lord, and he heard it. And I got home from work on Monday, and my ISP fixed everything. And it inspired me to share with you a message on prayer. So, you know, as Christians, we often think about prayers backwards. I know I did. Wouldn't you like to get in on what God's really going to do for his glory and your good when we pray rightly? Well, that's what prayer is actually all about. So let me ask you a question. When you pray, are you more focused on the prayer or the results you're seeking from the prayer rather than God's glory? Well, if so, you have it backwards, just like I did. Now, today's message is about prayer and when it seems to be unanswered. Now, that's a problem for many of us, including myself, like I said. You know, we know that we're supposed to pray, and of course we should, but so many times we pray and our prayers seem to be unanswered, like I was talking about earlier this week. I did the show with John on Sunday night with no soundboard and no way to look into the chat room. I was doing it blind like I do when I travel, and it's very difficult. And I'm crying out to the Lord, Lord, I need your help. And all he wanted me to do all along was trust him. So we know that we're supposed to pray, and we know what's supposed to happen, but sometimes we just think we're not being heard. Now, of course, we all know when a prayer is prayed and an answer is given speedily, you know? And I call it a speedy delivery, when they're answered immediately. And, of course, we go around with all sorts of praise reports when that happens, and that's great. But that doesn't always happen. You know, most of the times, or a lot of times at least for me, we'll pray, and then we end up asking questions like, well, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why does my prayer seem to be unanswered? Isn't that true? Well, today we're going to look at prayers that are, one, simply denied, strategically delayed, and three, are answered in strangely different but better ways that become huge blessings that we could never have imagined. You know, first of all, sometimes our prayers aren't answered, very frankly, because we haven't asked. And that's a problem. And that's the problem of unasked or unoffered prayer. Now, have you ever thought about how many commands in the Bible simply say pray? So whether we understand it or not, the Bible commands us to pray. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So this prayerlessness, very plainly, is sin. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible has commanded us to pray. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, to pray without ceasing. So we're never to stop praying. And in Luke 1:18, it reads, and he spake, and this is Jesus, a parable unto them to this end that men ought to always pray. Did you get that? Always to pray. Then in Mark 14:38, it reads, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So very bluntly, many of us, including myself, are failing simply because we don't pray. You know, there's no substitute for prayer. Not eloquence, not energy, not enthusiasm, not intellect, none of it. Now, when I was younger and much more foolish, I used to think prayer was for those who had no other options. But was I wrong? No. There is no substitute for prayer. And it should be the first thing we do in every circumstance, not the last. So many times I catch myself saying, well, the only thing I can do is pray. No. It's the one thing we should all be doing all the time. I like this poem, and I want to share it with you because it says so much. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wonder? He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me, but he said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all the keys on the lock, and God gently and lovingly chided, my son, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Wow, amen to that. Isn't that an awesome little poem? It says so much. What truth in that simple little poem. So the point is, if you're too busy to pray, you're just plain too busy. So that's the problem of unoffered prayer. But then what about the other problem, unanswered prayer? You know, when you do pray, and we all have that problem. So that's what we want to focus on in this message. You know, when we do seek God and even beg, and when we do repent and try to get right and ask God according to his will, and yet our prayers seem to be unanswered. So what's up with that? Well, let's look at 3 points from the Bible on what we often wrongly perceive as unanswered prayer. First, prayers that are simply denied. Yes, denied. So first of all, our prayers may seem to be unanswered simply because they've been denied. You know, God cannot and God will not answer your prayer because you're not asking, if you're not asking according to his will, and he cannot give you that which is not according to his will. So let's look at the book of James. And, you know, James was very practical, and James didn't beat around the bush, and he asked this one question in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Now here what he's saying is that people fight on the outside because they're at war with themselves on the inside. Then in verse 2 he continues, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Now that deals with unoffered prayer. What we talked about already, ye have not because ye ask not. But then he goes on and he says, ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. So very frankly, God cannot answer some of our prayers because they are selfish. And that's why they're not answered. We ask and receive not. Why? Because we ask amiss. Now, are you wondering, well, can I ask God for my personal needs? Of course you can, but not for your selfish needs. And there's a big difference. God wants to meet every one of our personal needs, but God does not feed our wants. That's our lusts and our pride and our selfishness. So if you're a friend of this world and you're asking God to make you a stronger person, why should God give you more strength to serve the devil? Think about it. Remember, God calls friendship with the world spiritual adultery. Think about it this way. Suppose there's a woman, and she's married to a man, and she's unfaithful to him, okay? And she goes to her husband, and now she has a boyfriend on the side, and she goes to her husband, and she says, husband, give me some money. I want to go to Las Vegas this weekend and spend some time there with my boyfriend. Now, why would he give her money to support her sin? No, in the same sense, why would God underwrite our spiritual adultery? Why would God give us strength to serve the devil? So now this next point is very crucial, and we all have to get it, and I just pray that the Lord etches it onto your heart. You know, prayer is not some sort of exercise where we get our will on earth done in heaven. No. It's where God in heaven gets his will done here on earth. So prayer is not a method where we bend God's will to fit our will. Prayer is finding the will of God and getting in on it. Doesn't that make sense? That's what prayer is. That's what the prayer of a righteous man or woman truly is. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it reads, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so sometimes, very plainly, we're simply asking with sin in our heart, out of the will of God, and our prayers are simply denied. Remember Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So at times, it's unanswered, or it's answered, depending on how you look at it, and it's simply God saying no. Now, having said that, let's tighten our focus a little bit, okay? And let's look at the second reason why there are at times what seems to be unanswered prayers. And remember, this is when we're walking in righteousness and we're staying focused on the Lord and we're forsaking all and trusting him. Now, the second reason that the prayers appear to be unanswered is that I want to say they're strategically denied. Now, with God, remember, timing is far more important than time. So God answers prayers, but sometimes not when we think he should, but rather when it will be far better for his glory and our good to have that prayer answered. So at times, prayers are delayed, and they're simply strategically delayed. Now there's an example in the Bible of a delayed prayer. It's an incredible story. And this prayer has been granted, but not yet given. And it's over in Daniel. You remember Daniel's prayer in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13? I'm going to read that now, okay? Then said he unto me, and this is the angel speaking to Daniel. So the angel says to Daniel, fear not, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, from the first day, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, now this is the demonic strongman, okay, that's over the country of Persia, and remember, Lucifer has his strongmen over all the countries and all the principalities, and there's these powers, okay? So this prince of Persia withstood the angel for 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, he came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Wow. You know, this is a challenging passage in Scripture, but what God's saying is, you know, Daniel, from the very time that you began to pray, prayer was heard, and that's the point here. But remember, it was 21 days later that Daniel finally received the answer. So God may grant a prayer without giving the answer, okay, until a delay or at a later time. Then in Mark 11:24, we read, and Jesus is saying this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So in other words, God's saying that you're going to get it, you're going to get what you believe, and then in the spiritual realm, you already have it. So just believe you already have it. That's what Jesus is saying. So if you already have it and you believe that you have it, that's not really faith because you have it. But if you don't have it and you believe that you do have it, then that's the exercise of faith. And that's what Jesus is saying here. So just believe that you already have it being given to you, and then you'll have it, even though it hasn't gotten here yet. Now, I know that might sound a little confusing, but that's how faith operates. Now, I think many of us who have asked God for something and think he hasn't heard our prayer have actually had our prayer heard, but we're just waiting on God to give us what he's already granted us. And it's really cool. We just have to wait upon the Lord. So why does God delay? Well, again, I want to remind you, and you're all my dear friends, you truly are, and I want you to just please understand this, that with God, the timing is far more important than the time. So never forget that. And there's this powerful verse from Isaiah. I want to share it with you. It's Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Wow! You know, that's a powerful scripture, and what beauty in that little simple scripture. So if you've been asking God for something, and you really believe that it's in his will, and for his glory, and your heart's clean and pure, and the answer doesn't come, what Isaiah is saying, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. So God wants to be gracious to you, and God wants to give all the glory to himself. That's what Isaiah is saying. Remember, God's grace and God's glory are one of the primary reasons that God waits when he's actually answering a prayer, so that he may be glorified. Remember, Isaiah is telling us, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you and me. Therefore he will be exalted. So God's going to answer our prayers when it'll give him the greatest glory, and that's the point here, that he may have mercy upon us, for the Lord is a God of judgment. That means our God is the God of intelligence. You know, he can discriminate between right and wrong. Sometimes when we have a difficult time seeing the whole picture, you know, he's a God of wisdom. The Lord is a God of judgment. That's what that means. And blessed are all that wait on him. So don't quit waiting on God. God's waiting for you to wait on him. That's the point here. And God wants you to wait on him. You see, God sometimes delays the answer to prayer until the situation gets so difficult, there's no way you're going to get the glory for it. All the glory is going to be his. That's what happened to me this week with my sound system for these Blog Talk radio shows. There was no way John and I were going to be able to solve the problem. I just had to lift my hands up. I did it on Monday morning at the plant, and I said, Lord, this is in your hands. It's all yours. And then the right people at the ISP got with whoever they had to do, and it all got fixed. And if I tried to call tech services and had that fixed, it would have never happened. All glory had to go to God. And that's really what God's trying to do. He's taking the route that brings himself the greatest glory. And really, that's why we pray. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So are you praying correctly or incorrectly? You know, is the deepest desire of your heart to have God glorified? You see, sometimes our prayers are strategically delayed to display God's glory. And then secondly, our prayers are strategically delayed to dispense God's grace. Remember, Isaiah said, "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." And then there's a third point. And sometimes the answer to our prayers may be strangely different than we expected, or significantly different, however we want to look at it here. Psalms 34, verse 10 reads, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And then in Psalms 84, 11, it reads, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So the point is, if you're practicing righteousness and you're walking uprightly and God withheld it from you, it wasn't good. You see the point here in these two verses? Wow. So why complain if God withholds something from you that isn't good? Now, there are many times when God doesn't give us what we ask, and that's because he has something better than what we ask for. In Romans 8, verse 26, Paul wrote, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought." And honestly, all of us are there at times, aren't we? You know, we pray, you know, like, "God, I think it's this. No, I think it's that, Lord. Oh, I just don't know, Lord." Have you ever been like that when you're praying, when you're on your knees petitioning the throne room? So we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that's one form of tongues, and it's known as our private prayer language, and it's when you just burst into tongues and you're praying. So at times the answer may be delayed, and other times the answer may be different. You know, we've all seen those big metal, they're round cylinders on the telephone poles out near our homes along the roads. Well, they're called transformers. And power lines run into them, and then power lines run out of them into our houses. And energy just surges through those transformers. And the transformed energy comes out the other side. So something happens inside that transformer, and the energy is changed, okay? And the power line then comes into our house and puts that transformed energy into all of our appliances, like our toasters, you know? And so if you took that energy right off the power line outside your house before the transformer, and you tried to run it into your toaster without first going through the transformer, you know, what were you going to end up having? Not only burned toast, but a vaporized toaster. You know, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be vaporized. And that's the same energy. It's just been transformed or adapted or made acceptable in some way to be appropriate for use in the toaster. And that's the same way with our prayers at times, you know. It's the same energy. It's the same prayer. It's the same motivation. God knows our desire for his glory. And so God puts our prayers through the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul's saying there in Romans, you know. So the Holy Spirit's like a great transformer that makes intercessions for us. And he takes our prayers and he makes them acceptable to the throne of grace. And then our prayers are answered. Isn't that cool? You know, sometimes, as Paul said in Romans, we know not what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And praise Jesus for that, you know? So sometimes prayers may be denied because we're out of the will of God, and other times prayers may be delayed for God's glory and his grace, and sometimes prayers are different, but they're better. Now, there was this preacher a pretty long time ago down in Florida. His name was Pastor Ed Solomon. And he spoke in a very special way. He had a little bit of a twang and a lisp to his voice. But he was a great man of God. And he was so wise. And, you know, one time he was preaching at his alma mater. in the college church, and his classmates were there. His wife was sitting out there in the front row, and so was his congregation from his church. So all the people that were closest to him were there. And then in his own special way, he just began preaching, you know. And he said, God never did give me anything I wanted. You know, Pastor Solomon said, I never got to go to the school I wanted to go to. And remember, he's sitting there, and his alma mater's sitting there, and he's preaching this in the alma mater's church. And he's saying, I never got to go to the school I wanted to go to. And then he went on and he said, and God didn't let me marry the woman I wanted to marry. And remember, his wife sitting right there in the front row. And then he continued and he said, and God never did let me pastor the church I wanted to pastor. And his people from his church are sitting there listening to this. You know, you talk about embarrassing. And people were wondering, where's this going? And then he said, so God never did give me anything I wanted. And then he wisely said, and this is where it's so powerful. He said, but God always did give me something better than I ever wanted. So the point here is, please, please understand, God gives the best to those who leave the choice to him. And that's the point here. Just remember, sometimes prayers may be denied. Sometimes they can be delayed. And sometimes our prayers may be answered differently. So now, after we've learned all about prayer, what should we do if we're praying and our prayers seem unanswered? What should we do? Well, first of all, do a spiritual checkup on yourself and make sure you're right with God. Ask yourself, do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? You remember what Psalm 66:18 said. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So first, get right with God. Just confess your unrepented sins. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. And then turn away from your sins and turn back to Jesus. Remember the two-step, I always say? Repent and trust, and then trust and obey. Make sure you're walking that way, okay? And then ask yourself, am I seeking the glory of God? Am I? Am I asking for his glory? Or that I might consume it upon my lust? And then if you're convinced that you're asking for the glory of God, then just continue to pray. Just keep on praying. Don't quit. Pray, 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 pray. Just keep on praying. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And then remember also Jesus talked about that woman who went to the unjust judge and just wouldn't shut up. That's over in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, right there where he was encouraging us to always pray and not to faint. And then remember, Jesus talked about the man who needed to borrow some bread from a friend, and he knocked on the friend's door, and the friend said, go away, but the friend just kept on knocking and knocking. That's over in verses 5 through 13 of chapter 11 of Luke. You know, the Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it'll be opened unto you. That's twice in the Bible. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, and again in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So that word there, keep on, you know, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on, that's the verb form, keep on, keep on. So you may be thinking, is there ever a time when I would stop praying? Of course, when the prayer is answered, then you start praying for something else, okay? So when you have an answer to your prayer in hand, start praising the Lord. Just thank him. Or maybe you don't have the answer in your hand, but God says it's done because there's this burden that's been lifted. And then praise him and thank him. And you might say, all right, Lord, thank you. I don't have it in my hand, but it's in my heart, and I thank you. I just praise you, Jesus. Or maybe God says to you, as he said to Paul, when Paul asked God three times to take that thorn from his flesh, remember what God said to Paul? I'm not going to do it, Paul. I'm not going to give you something better. I'm going to give you my grace, which is phenomenal, not just something better, phenomenal. And that's what he said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. So the point here is to just keep on praying until you have the answer, either in your hand, in your heart, or God shows you a better way. Remember, the Bible says men ought to always pray. So our greatest need as a church and as individuals is to truly know how to pray. You know, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would teach us to pray. Amen? Now, I love you all. Now, go out into the world and let your light shine. Just let your light shine. And as Keith Green said so well, just make your entire life a prayer to him so that he may be glorified. Praise Jesus. I love you all.
Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son. You said to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. Oh, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again.
Y'all, go out there and let your light shine so others may know this truth.